Hi everybody, welcome to the Women's Dating and Confidence Podcast. My name is Amber, and today we're going to be talking about communication in the early stages of dating before you're exclusive. Before we get into that, I want to share with you my free guide called Copy and Paste Texts for when he's pulling away or acting flaky. The link for that is going to be in the show notes of this episode. Also, once you sign up for that, you're going to get my weekly emails where it's basically like another podcast but written, and it's about topics that I don't share on the podcast. So it's just another way to get really helpful dating content and advice around relationships. Also, if you're interested in working together, make sure that you check out the link in the show notes about coaching. There is currently a membership option for my program called From Dating to Exclusive. It's month to month. You can try it out. You can get started. You can take what you need. And there are options for the level of support that you want. So you can do just the group coaching program, or you can also add one-on-one sessions to that. And it just depends on what you need. And you can also change it down the road. Either way, I'll be tutoring you in the subject of dating. You'll be guided through my entire curriculum, step by step, going through the exercises to build the skills of dating, to enjoy the process more, and to have more agency to the direction that you're going in dating and leading your connections from dating to exclusive. So if you're interested in learning more about those options and working together, make sure that you check out the link in the show notes and let me know if you have any questions. You can email me. There's a little FAQ section and my contact is in there if you have other questions. All right, so let's talk about communication in the early stages of dating. So when we think about communication, we often think about what to do once we're 1 year in, right? So once you're 1 year in, you can have a sit down with somebody and say like, hey, your behavior, let's talk about it, or I'm having this issue, or I feel this way. But we don't feel like we can do that 1 week, 2 weeks into dating, before we're exclusive, before we have labels. What do we do when something isn't working for us, when something doesn't feel right, but we're not really at that stage where we feel like we can talk about it with the person? So just gonna bring it up here again. That's why I created copy and paste texts for when he's pulling away or acting flaky. That is a super common situation where you just started dating somebody and something is off, like whether they had to cancel plans or they're rescheduling or they're late for plans or you don't know how to get plans on the books. There are many different situations. Right now, just the examples that are coming to mind are plans related, but there are other examples in that 8-page guide. And there are ways that you can communicate in the early stages of dating that feel appropriate for that stage. So for a more in-depth perspective on that, definitely get the guide. But what I really want to communicate in this episode is that I don't actually believe that communication is something that you save for later. You can actually communicate the way that you want to communicate from the very first date. So you don't have to wait till you're 6 months into a relationship to let somebody know if something wasn't working for you, or if you need something to change, or if you need to talk about anything else. And in fact, it's a really great opportunity to see how somebody reacts to that. If somebody has a really strong reaction, like, whoa, you have feelings already at this stage that aren't 100% pleasant about something and you're sharing them with me, or you have a challenge with something that happened and you want to talk to me about that, and then they get defensive or they make you feel wrong or they shut you down or they make you feel needy or they make you feel like you're too much, that's a really great sign for you to not date that person anymore. So let me give you an actual example of how this can come up in dating early on. One of my clients went on about 3 to 4 dates with somebody and they were having a great time. They were having long, awesome, fun dates and things were going really well. And after one of those dates, they increased their physical and emotional intimacy and it was the right thing for them. It was feeling really great. And then the next day, that person that she was dating was a little bit less available than usual. And she knew that he was busy. She knew that he had a bunch of stuff going on, but he didn't text her to check in the next day. And then he was pretty much unavailable that day. And so after that increased intimacy and just kind of the progression of the connection, she was feeling really anxious. And she wasn't liking the way that their texting hadn't really evolved or increased over the period of time that they had been connecting, especially as their emotional connection was evolving and increasing. So she was definitely in the mindset of feeling like, I can't say that to him. because that's what we usually feel, right? Like, it's too early to make demands of a person that I'm not even exclusive with, that I've only met 3 or 4 times. Like, who am I to ask this person to text me a certain amount or with a certain level of emotional intention? It's just too early to ask for that. And all the while thinking that, we feel anxious. We feel uncomfortable in the connection. We're not enjoying the connection because there's something that doesn't feel right about it. And we're just trying to work things out in our head instead of working things out with the other person. And so that's when people try to work on their mindset a lot or just tell themselves they have an anxious attachment style and it should be fine for them, when really sometimes the solution is to talk to the other person. So that's what I suggested for this client. I suggested that she just let him know what that communication felt like to her. And that can be as simple as like, hey, like, you know, last time we had such a great time and I felt like we got a lot closer and I really enjoyed that closeness. And then the next day it felt kind of distant and there wasn't really like a check-in or like an affirmation of that closeness. And that just didn't feel great to me. And so one thing that I always suggest for people when they're thinking of communicating something to another person is to imagine themselves receiving that communication. If somebody said those words to you, would you say, get over it? Or like, you're being way too needy, or what's wrong with you? You know, you just wouldn't react that way. It seems so reasonable and it seems actually kind of sweet. It's a bit vulnerable. It's also showing some good communication skills, which are very impressive. It also shows some courage for them to even share that with you. So she was making up her mind of whether or not she was going to have that check-in conversation and communicate that to him. And she did end up communicating something to him, maybe not with my exact script, but she did let him know how that interaction felt. And he reacted really well. And he was like, oh yeah. He clarified why he wasn't as available, and he also said that he meant to check in with her and ask her what her expectations were around communication and texting in general, and they worked it out, and things felt a lot better. And long story short, now they're exclusive and exploring that connection. So this is just one of the millions of examples of dating turbulence that is always, I can't understate this, always going to be a part of your from dating to exclusive journey. With every single person that you date, there will always be dating turbulence in the beginning. And one of the tools that we use to navigate that is communication. Dating turbulence is when things aren't perfect. Dating turbulence is when there are different expectations for how to behave or how to meet the needs of the other person, or different expectations going into things, because very often it's a complete stranger that you're dating. I mean, imagine just meeting somebody off an app and then trying to figure out what the other person's needs are and how you can be there for each other. It's not always easy or obvious. So communication is what we use to bridge that gap. Now, let's say it doesn't go well and the person has a poor reaction or is kind of gaslighting you or makes you feel like you're too much and it's too early for that. Again, it's a really good signal of maybe this not being a great person to date or consider an exclusive relationship with. And also what communication helps us do is cut ourselves loose, right? If there's a connection that is making you feel super anxious and you are feeling kind of led on, or you feel like they're half there and half not, and you just feel terrible in this connection, it helps you cut that tie. It helps you get out of that sooner, and therefore it creates less damage or less heartbreak that you then have to recover from. So it's really good for clarifying whether you should continue on the path with somebody or whether you should let go of that somebody. And communication helps us do either one of those things really easily. So what if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh my God, Amber, I could literally never do that. Like, I can't even communicate with my mom or my friends, let alone some stranger that I'm dating that I'm really into. And you're definitely not alone in that experience. And it's definitely a skill, not only to know what to say or how to say it, but also to build the confidence to be able to say it. And that's where I'll say that support and skill building and coaching can be really helpful. So if you would like help with that, make sure that you check out coaching and we can chat about that as well. One thing that really gets in the way of us communicating things is feeling like we are super, super demanding. And I want to say that at least in 90% of cases, it's just not true. The things that people are asking for or needing are usually like bare minimum things or things that are essential for creating a loving relationship. And not only that, but we kind of have to raise our vision for what we want in a relationship. A lot of people, when they think about a relationship, think about what does it need to keep going rather than what does it need to thrive. And in order to thrive, there are different standards that we have in terms of how we communicate, how we treat the person, how we show up, how much we invest, how much time we spend on the person, and just generally how much we give to the connection. We want there to be an excess of love and affection and care for the connection. And the way that we make sure that we do that is one, being that partner, but also filtering out partners who are easily overwhelmed by the idea of doing that. And one thing that's really challenging about this as well is that if you've ever been with a partner or if you've ever had a parent or a friend who repeatedly acted like you were being super unreasonable with your needs, then it can really train you to feel like you're asking for so much, and it can be hard to believe that somebody could not only easily do those things without a problem and without a lot of effort, but also really enjoy doing the things that help the relationship thrive. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode or if you're enjoying this podcast in general, it's always amazing to read your reviews. I read them every day. They cheer me up so much. And the way that you can leave a review is to go to Apple Podcasts, search for Women's Dating and Confidence Podcast, click on the image, scroll all the way down, and then you'll see a section to leave a review there. Or you can just go on Spotify if that's where you're listening and leave a rating. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you next week.